We're looking here in Ezekiel chapter 47, and we left off here last time in the middle of the chapter. Our brother tells us of what he saw in regards to these waters that are flowing out of the sanctuary of the Lord there, the flowing out of the temple, waters that are for healing, and there needs to be healing at this time. It's after Armageddon, as we understand it. The Lord is going to rule and reign, soles of his feet there, in the temple, and this great temple that has been built. We don't know how it's built, but we know that it does exist and will exist. It's greater than any that has been built or likely that any man will build without the directive and the power and ability of the Lord. And it seems to me that these waters that are flowing for this healing are a result of the Lord coming back, what he did there on Olives. We understand that the real estate of the Temple Mount is going to be greatly expanded. It's going to go from being 40 acres to nearly 640 acres, the size of a section. And it would stand to reason where the Temple Mount is now, right there by the Kidron Valley. Now, Olives is just right across that valley and river there. If you took that and you took it a half mile both directions, it would extend over that area of that breaking of the mountain and the waters that were told in Zechariah that are going to flow from there. And so it seems like that maybe they're connected. And then we come to this in verse number 13. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, remember, I've said it many times. Remember, this is coming to the Israelites that are in captivity in Babylonia. Everything they have has been taken away. They don't even have a city that's back home that's not destroyed. Their worship in the temple has been destroyed and taken away. Jerusalem has been run over. I mean, they have nothing, and they're in a foreign land. The places where they live are probably not really theirs. They've been provided for them or from the land. They've been able to build the places that they live. They're displaced. And what the Lord, through Brother Ezekiel, has brought to them is a promise that they just, it would be beyond their comprehension. And granted, in their day, they don't see it. But they do have it as a promise to the nation. And oh, what a promise it is. The Lord coming and being amongst them. You know, much of the book, if you remember, is how the Lord has been displeased with Israel. He's chastised her. He's told about the grossness of her sins. He's been real plain about it and what she's done. He's not held anything back that they might see what they have done and how they've sinned against their good, wonderful Lord. He's made a promise to them that their sin is going to be taken away from them. They're not even going to remember what they've done, because their focus is going to come to a time, it's going to come to a time with the blessing of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord, that they're going to be focused on Him. We have an indication here and a connection. It's so familiar for you and me because we have the New Testament. We know what happened in the Lord Jesus fulfilling the Gospels. Here in this Old Testament book and these passages, remember, the one that comes to deliver them, he says, they'll look upon him whom they pierced. We've got a foretelling about what Christ would do. He'd be crucified. And he, the one that the nation, John writes there in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, he came into his own, and his own received him not. You know, but he didn't quit him. He didn't give up on him. And he's going to deliver him. And you can't help but think that maybe to some that would be there in captivity, it would be an encouragement to them. As fierce as the chastisement of the Lord has been upon them and sold them into slavery, into captivity, this bitter and hasty nation of the Chaldeans coming and just running over them. They didn't care about gender. They didn't care about age. They didn't care about the young. They didn't care about the old. It was a bitter thing, but their sin brought this upon them. As bitter as the chastisement of the Lord has been, and as difficult, as hard, as so terrible, and it's all a testimony to their error and their disobedience of the Lord, as great and as terrible as that has been, his love, his provision, his care for them is just as great. It's just as great. We embark upon a time here that the Lord says you're going to inherit the land. What? Remember, these are displaced folks. They don't have any land. It's been taken from them. But the Lord says you're going to inherit the land. And when he begins to tell about this and the rest of this chapter and the coming chapter, he says, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. I find that interesting that just right off the bat, the Lord mentions that Joseph's going to have two portions. Wow, this of Joseph having a double blessing. Well, that stems from such a long, long, long time ago, doesn't it? Right here where we're standing, 2,000 years since the Lord. And then what from them back to the time of the patriarchs, another 1,000, 1,200, something like that? The Lord doesn't forget anything. He doesn't forget anything. He doesn't forget his own. You know, and boy, the account of Joseph, isn't the account of Joseph a blessing? A type of Christ to a point. No man can be a complete type and showing of Christ. But Brother Joseph is. He is in a great way. Not one word of rebuke in the scripture towards Brother Joseph. Not one. We know he's a man. We know that he had failings and falters. We know that he sinned against our Lord. He's a man. But he was faithful. He was dedicated to the Lord. He knew that what the Lord said was true. And he knew that there was no other way to go but the way the Lord said. Just like our Lord spoke to us this morning there in Luke chapter 6. There's no other way to build but by what the Lord says. So Joseph will have two portions. You know, this brings up an interesting thing in the scriptures about Brother Joseph having two portions. And what I've done here, I'll ask these fellows, Brother Mark, if you would pass this out. Okay, you can't do it. Jerry, would you mind helping out there? And Brother Bobby, would you mind helping passing these out to those that we got him sleeping and we don't want to disturb it. And I understand that. I appreciate that very much. You got this chart. I made up this chart and this is a source for several studies and considerations. I wanted to give you this. Over the years, it's something that I've touched on from time to time, and I thought I'd mapped it out before and hadn't done so. Well, we've got mention of the 12 tribes of Israel, or the tribes of Israel, through the course of the scriptures, okay? And a lot of things, again, from this that you can study. But this of Brother Joseph having a double blessing, a double portion, is reflected in this. And we want to put this in front of you, and maybe you might take up to do some study from this. But what I've got here, going from left to right, you know, we've got the tribes of Israel, and we've got here in this first column about their birth. I need to print out more, don't I? And okay, we'll get some. We'll get some more printed out. What I have been printing, I need to print more, and that's good. I'm glad there's more of you here. That's good. In this first column, we have about their birth. And I went ahead and put Dinah in there. And of course, she's not one of the patriarchs, but one of the children of Leah. Put here their mothers, or the handmaiden that they were born of. And so there's the patriarchs, Jacob's children. And then Jacob gave his blessing there in Genesis 49. And then we come to the time of where Israel's brought out of Egypt, and there's a census of the army. This is 20 years old and older that are able to fight. And so this is not the entire numbering of the entire nation, but of those, the size of the army. As they're going into Canaan, there's this of the blessing and the curse. Some told to stand on Mount Gerizim and the things that they were to utter, and then some that were told to mount on stand on Mount Ebal and the things that they were to utter as they had this symbolic entry into the land. If my memory serves me right, 14 things of blessing if you obey the Lord and 54 points of cursing if you don't. 14 verses 54. Then Moses' blessing upon them in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And here we don't see it exactly because there Joseph is mentioned as the tribe. But here we see something interesting that in Moses' blessing, Simeon is omitted. There's no blessing there for Simeon in that column there. I've listed him down there. We see here the beginning of the two portions that Joseph is granted here in Moses' blessing, Deuteronomy 33. And Simeon has no blessing from Moses. Remember, Simeon and Levi, they did a cruel thing way back when regarding how Dinah had been treated. I want to call her Diana. How Dinah had been treated. Then we come here to the division of the land, and here's where we really see Joseph's double portion. Here you have Ephraim and Manasseh listed. Not Joseph, but his sons. Sons born to him there in Egypt. And they inherited the land. But you know, you got to understand that the way the Lord estimates things is just way and above and beyond what the way that we naturally estimate things. We would say, well, Levi didn't get anything. Well, the Lord said that Levi got him. And there's no better thing to have, there's no better one to have than our Lord, the priests of the Lord. Levi was involved in that bitter thing, that terrible thing that their father rebuked them for and his blessing and told how they were cruel. But you know, but the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord still used that man's children. Then we have in Revelation the sealed. There's another mentioning of the tribes of Israel. And there we see the manifestation of Joseph's double blessing in Manasseh and Ephraim being listed there. But Dan is omitted. Dan won't have 12,000 of the 144,000. I don't know why. Then we have a listing here of the gates of New Jerusalem. And it says there simply that the 12 gates are named after the 12 tribes. And I'm waiting for one of the other brethren in their Sunday school classes to tell who they are. So they'll take care of that for us. They're not listed there. We don't know exactly. Will Joseph's blessing, double blessing, be manifested there or no? We don't know. But they will be named the 12 tribes. And then where we're heading for here in Ezekiel chapter 48. Do you see that? There's 13 listed there. 13 listed there. All of them get a piece of ground. Because our Lord is better than you and I could ever imagine. He's better and good in every way. And so just wanted to give that to you in a way that you could look at it, and maybe that would stir some other considerations and studies there. But that's what we want to look at this afternoon, about this of Joseph having two portions. We have the account of Brother Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 37 through 47, and I trust you know about it. And I trust you are teaching your children about it and your grandchildren about it. They need to know about that. That's good foundational things for children to know. If you have any children, any grandchildren that you have any ability to have an input to their life, bring them here to our services and to our Sunday school that they might learn about these things. Teach them to them yourself. In chapter 48 of Genesis, though, that's where we want to go. We want to see about this double blessing and how the Lord worked, how Brother Jacob worked, how he was led of the Lord, and how this came about that our brother would have a double portion from the Lord. In Genesis chapter 48, it says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel," that's his name, given to him by the Lord, Jacob. The Lord named him Israel. "And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Do you think that the Lord meant that? Did you hear that? Everlasting possession. The Canaanite displaced does not have a place to go back to. You know why? Because God has said he's displaced. And his son, his child, Jacob, and his children are going to inherit that land. Do you think that that's going to happen? That's sure going to happen. In studies and in consideration, looking for different maps and stuff online, there's an interesting map, and I'll look to show that to you here when I show you some graphics regarding our study in Ezekiel and wrapping it up. But it lists all the Muslim countries from the Middle East all the way across North Africa. And they've got emblazoned upon that map, so there's no room on the earth for the Palestinians. See, this is the wicked. This is the wicked world going after the nation of the Lord, saying that that little sliver of real estate has just got to be where the Palestinians live, when even their own Muslim brothers don't want them in their own land and have got all kinds of real estate to take those people and put them on. It's not an issue. It's not an issue about there's no place for them to go. The issue is, as always has been, they don't want Israel to live. That's what's going on. But our Lord said, he said, an everlasting possession. That's what he told Brother Jacob. Verse 5. "And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh," understand that Manasseh is the firstborn. But Brother Jacob has got something else on his mind. "Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine." He said, "Son, I'm taking your two sons, and I'm moving them up the lineage. They're like my sons. They're going to get an inheritance from me." You know, and this is the providence and the working of the Lord. I mean, Jacob indeed was impressed to do this. Jacob's an old man, and, you know, physically what he could do was very limited. But the Lord does respect and honor and has led in and worked in and does respect the blessing of our brother upon his children. It's a prophetic, really, in a sense. And it is what he declared. He said, "They're moving up, son, and they are mine. As Reuben and Simeon," they were the first two born, Reuben and Simeon. You can see them there on the list, on the birth order in that first column. I kept that in order. "They are just as much my sons as Reuben and Simeon are." "As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." Verse 6, "And thy issue, if thou begettest after them," after Manasseh and Ephraim, "shall be thine." What would be my grandchildren will continue on to be after these two, because these are going to be like my sons. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, brother Joseph's mother, when yet there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. Interesting. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and says, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, these are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. You know, the grandchildren, you just can't help but do that, can you? And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Jacob was the same. He wanted to give them a hug and kiss their heads. They're little. They're little. We're going to see that. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And boy, we know that that was the truth, don't we? Jacob had thought he'd lost Joseph. He would never see him again. Trust you know that account. And lo, God hath showed me thy seed also. I've seen your children. What a blessing that is. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees. They're little tykes. They're little guys. Maybe like James' age or so. They're walking. And he brings them out there. They're sticking close to their daddy, aren't they? And Israel said to Joseph, I thought not to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me thy seed also. And Joseph brought them out between his knees, verse 12, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. He makes obeisance to his father. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him, because that's the way that Joseph knew, as it was their custom and the way that it would be, that the blessing from the right hand would be the greatest blessing. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel. I don't understand all about what that was. About the Lord coming and wrestling with brother Jacob. And I believe that's a pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ myself. When you see this capital A angel, it's talking about the Lord. I'm convinced of that. He wrestled with him there and he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. We know the power of the Lord is beyond anything that we can imagine, anything that we could ever compete with, you know, and compare. But what I see in this is the Lord in a sense, well, not so much condescending, but the Lord enjoying fellowship, with his son, with his child. The Lord sought to challenge this man, but he looked to help this man. He loved him. I don't know how to describe it as young men that are good friends and, you know, will do things together and have different activities that they do together. Some might fish, some might mechanic, some might do this. And I see the Lord, a friend of Brother Jacob like that, a close friend, a bosom friend. And Jacob remembers that and knows that. You know, Jacob's been walking with the Lord. He trusts and rests in the Lord. He's never forgot the blessing of that one that day that he wrestled with. Remember, Jacob didn't get off. That one that he wrestled with, he allowed Jacob to hold him and he did bless him. But you know what? He grabbed hold of his thigh and Jacob limped for the rest of his life. He was more powerful than Jacob. That was shown right there. But he was good to him, wasn't he? The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, the younger, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand. He picked it up. He said, he lifted it up and to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father. That's not their age order, Dad. That's not their age order. You got it mixed up. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. You know, I don't know in Jacob if this was a holdover. I mean, he's certainly under the leadership of the Lord, but maybe is it a holdover from his youth? We certainly could suspicion it to be, couldn't we? It sure is a lot better than the way that Jacob did it, isn't it? It sure is. These little fellows with this blessing upon them, there would be no arguing it. There would be no guilt associated with it. They'd have it, honestly, from the Lord's leadership of this man. I know it's my son. I know it. He also, speaking of Manasseh, shall become a people, and he also shall be great. For truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. You kind of look over here and you look at this listing in the census of the army at the time that they numbered them. They were those that are 20 years old and upward that could fight. You kind of see the strength of the different tribes, don't you? You know, Simeon's got a lot of fighting men at 59,000. These numbers are listed right in the scripture. Boy, look at Judah, 74,000. That's an army, isn't it? Now look there at Brother Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Coming in at 72,700. Well, that's a group, isn't it? That's a force, isn't it? He also, Manasseh shall also become a people. He'll also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, and thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. It'll become a saying. It'll be said as friends that would part, or as they would have children and their friends and their family would look to bless them, it would be a saying that would be amongst the Jews. The Lord bless you as he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. So all the way from that time, all the way to the time here that's prophesied in Ezekiel, all the way to the time that lies ahead when the Lord will accomplish these things, the Lord has honored that and has and will accomplish that in Ephraim and Manasseh. We come back to Ezekiel chapter 47, and we read this in verse number 14. And ye shall inherit it, this the 12 tribes, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. This land shall fall unto you for your unto you for inheritance. And this shall be the border of the land towards the north side. So this is the northern border of it. From the great sea to the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zedad, Hamath, Berotha, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar Hatikan, you can name your place that sometime, which is by the coast of Haran. And the border from the sea shall be Hazarinan, the border of Damascus, and the north northward of the border, Hamath. This is the north side. So he describes a line up there from the Mediterranean going east. And the east side ye shall measure from Haran, and from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border unto the east sea, and this is the east side. As the brother mentioned this morning about the Sea of Galilee, there's also the Dead Sea that's down there. And so in that region, we understand to be the east side. Verse 19, in the south side, southward from Tamar, even to the waters of Strife and Kadesh, the river to the great sea, and this is the south side southward. And the west side also shall be the great sea from the border till a man come over against Hamath or the Mediterranean. This is the west side. And so shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance among you. And I want you to listen real close to what's next. We understand this to be in the millennial. It's the only time that it could ever be accomplished. It hadn't been accomplished yet. It's got to be in the millennial, in my estimation. And I want you to hear the blessing and the generosity of the Lord to the heathen. Remember, we've talked about different ones that are going to be there in the millennial. It seems very much, of course, the saints are going to be there that have got their immortal bodies. That's clear, because they come back with the Lord from heaven, and you don't pass through heaven without an immortal body, okay? And at the rapture, we understand that we receive those bodies. And there's also Israel that the Lord will save in that time that he comes and makes that appearing to sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, fights the battle of Armageddon, and the battles related thereto. And saves Israel, seemingly a third, if we understand it right, a third of Israel will be saved. And they'll be in their mortal bodies yet saved and go into the millennium. There'll be those of Israel that are not saved that'll yet live and go into the millennium. And there'll be all the heathen that will remain of the nations of the world that didn't come down to fight against Israel in Armageddon. They're yet back home, and they are there. And these are the people that are there. And there's going to be commerce, there's going to be industry, there's going to be things that are going to be done, there's going to be worship of the Lord, there's going to be the honor of the nations that will be brought to Jerusalem to honor the Lord as he rules and reigns there, and it's going to be going on for 1,000 years. There's going to be great healing, as we've read about those waters and what the Lord will do. It'll be the order of the Lord. The world will be provided for very, very, very well. The world's going to be shown for 1,000 years that the Lord's way works, even in sin, on a sin-cursed earth. The Lord's way works indeed. Verse 22, and it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, tribes of Israel, and to the strangers that sojourn among you. Oh yeah? Which shall beget children among you. These are not Israelites. And they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. Isn't that what that said? The Lord says, you cannot take it away from me and my people, but I'll give it and be generous to whom I will be generous to. They will have an inheritance. Now remember, we have an account in the scripture where it says that a baby will be accounted 100 years old in that day. People are going to live. They're going to live for a long while. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, whether it be in Issachar or Judah or Reuben or Ephraim or Manasseh or Benjamin or Dan, it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. Isn't our Lord good? Mm-hmm. He sure is. May we trust him. Amen? May we believe him and rest in him. His grace, his mercy, and his love is just, if we'll just avail ourselves to get in this book, to hear it and to listen to it, and avail ourselves to it more to know how wonderful our Lord is, I tell you what, it'll help us. It'll help us to live. It'll help us to live for him. It'll help us to witness for him and witness of him to a lost and dying world.